peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We would expect that when the Lord, the Good Shepherd, makes an investment in the sheep business, surely he'd choose the very best sheep, wouldn't you think? Strong, healthy animals. Certainly he, being wise, would not invest his time and energy upon mangy, foul, and filthy creatures, sickly, injured, ragged wretches. Just makes sense. Yet is that not what we are by nature? We are creatures bred in sin. We are filthy and stained because we often wander from the right path, like a sheep that is often muddy from trampling through the bushes. We're spiritually sickly, crippled, and unable to measure up to God's standards of health and strength. We're supposed to be like his likeness. It's the way we were made, holy and wise, righteous and glorious. We were created in his image to be a perfect relationship of obedience and faith with God. It's the way we were made. Yet we have broken that image. We have shattered that relationship and the righteousness that should have been ours. But God, being our merciful Lord, he's a peculiar shepherd by earthly standards. He's chosen you, even in your weakness and your uncleanliness, to be part of his flock. He predestined you from before the creation of the world to belong to him in spite of all your disobedience. The Lord your shepherd says to you, he says, I myself will seek my flock and feed my flock. Now he's not talking about an earthly seeking or an earthly food, although God mercifully and richly gives blessings of daily bread to us. But here he speaks of something much greater. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. That's what he said. God began to seek you out in the work of his Son by taking your flesh and dying your death. He did not die for just a certain person or a certain group of people. He didn't suffer only for the godly, as if there were any such people around apart from God's redemption. No, Christ died for all people. The sins of all the world were placed upon his shoulders on Calvary. Therefore, it was also your sins for which he shed his precious blood. And it was also you whom he was seeking to find. Yet Christ didn't remain in the grave. He also did not cease working for your salvation. He sent his apostles. He sent preachers. He sent prophets so that Christ's own word would reach your ears. He sent baptizers to anoint you with his grace. In that water, Christ himself washed you sheep clean and bright and made you fit to be his flock. You're no longer filthy, mangy beast in the sight of the Lord. But in Christ you are immaculate and pure, with wool as white as snow. Careful, don't get too big of a head. But you are. You're washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. In the water and the Word, Christ found you when you were lost. He was seeking you through his gospel. The Holy Spirit opened up your ears so that you could hear, so that forgiveness could come to you. Then Jesus found you. His seeking was done, for you were no longer lost. Still, his work was not done. Since he promised that he would also feed you, he feeds you now the rich food of his means of grace. You've heard this term before. His means of grace is his word and his sacraments. In these, faith is not only created, but it's also sustained daily. That's why it's so important for us to partake of hearing his word and receiving his sacraments regularly. So indeed, in this divine service, it's nothing else than the Lord God himself feeding you the richest of all food. Where Jesus is, there is the true flock, the Israel of God. So where the word and sacraments are, there is the church, where Jesus speaks his gospel and his sheep all gather together. Where the pure preaching of his word is, there his people are. As sheep listen to their shepherd, so you listen to Christ. Word and sacraments are not the actions of any man. No human can do these things. It's by God. They're God's gracious work done in order to feed his flock. God's the one who's active doing the great things during our worship. That's why our worship is properly called the divine service. God is at work serving you. It's just as he said. He said, I will feed my flock. So the divine service of the means of grace is what makes you the true flock of God. Now, even here in the church, Satan will attack you any way that he can. He wants to drive that wedge in there to separate you from the grace of God. He wants to keep you out of there. He'll use false shepherds. He even uses false pastors to lead people to value other things more than the means of grace. False shepherds say that God's word's not enough. We need other things to improve sermons in our worship. That's what they say. But what God does is not so important for seeking people, they say. Instead, we need to be ablaze or outgoing or more loving, or whatever the favorite adjective might be that week. God cannot seek sheep unless we do our work, or so they say. Our human flesh adds its voice to Satan's to convince us that we're good sheep only if we do just enough good works. But the Lord God warns you that he will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in the judgment. Now, no sheep is truly strong and healthy. We're all sinners and spiritually dead by nature. But God warns us about convincing ourselves that we're healthy in and of ourselves. If we think we are strong, if we just dare think that, we're deceiving ourselves. Christ said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Your job as sheep is to be hungry and thirsty so that he, the Lord God, can satisfy your thirst and your hunger with heavenly food. Christ also said, "Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger." Your attitude, then, is to be in sorrow over your sins, so that the blood of Christ can wash you clean. But those who do not repent shall not receive forgiveness in the blood of Christ. So indeed, what do they receive who do not repent? They receive judgment. That's what we're told by the Holy Scripture. They receive judgment. The blood of Christ testifies against them, as the blood of Abel testified against Cain. In the sacrament of the altar, the blood of Christ is sometimes drunk by unbelievers and by those who are unrepentant and by those who do not believe that his true blood is there. Then these hypocrites receive God's food, but it does no benefit for them. Those who will not heed the shepherd's voice by believing and repenting receive only condemnation and judgment. That's why we as Lutherans are cautious about who is fed at the altar, lest they be fed with judgment to their great harm. It's Christian love why we celebrate close communion. That's all. But so many people are so short and don't have time to hear the explanation. But now you have been taught the truth by the Good Shepherd. You can approach the altar with confidence because you know exactly what you're receiving. God feeds you at the altar with his own son. So then approach, knowing precisely what is in you, namely sin and disobedience. You need to feel your great need for this food and believe your shepherd's voice about the sacrament of the altar. Hunger and thirst greatly to receive what he offers at the altar. For here is the same body and blood given in death upon the cross as for the atonement of your sin that carried your trespasses and brought you to him as his sheep. With the same body and blood he purchased and won you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Therefore, may the Holy Spirit work in all of you repentance, sustain you in the one true faith, and continue to feed you the heavenly food of his means of grace until the new heaven and the new earth, when you shall see your shepherd face to face. In his name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ.